Hello, everyone, and welcome to another week of The Rebel Room. I'm your host, Ryan Green, here alongside the immortal Rob Mish.
Aloha.
How you doing, Rob? We haven't had you in a couple weeks.
No, been out scouting out the hoop trails, and while you guys are watching that funny pigskin ball bounce different ways that it does, huh?
It's a crazy game, isn't it?
Very crazy.
Well, UNLV, quick football mention, they lost last week 41-28 to Colorado State. Though, the Footers are on a bye week this week before taking on Air Force for homecoming next Saturday at 7 p.m. So we figured, while there's what better time to talk UNLV running Rebel basketball, because that is what's on the horizon. They kick off practice the night before the aforementioned Air Force game next Friday, October 17th, at Thomas and Mack Center with the First Look event. Where the public gets their first glimpse at the UNLV 2008-09 basketball team, coming in off two consecutive NCAA tournament appearances and heading into what many people think will be a third consecutive. While practice and all that doesn't officially begin, Rob, we've headed out to Thomas and Mack a couple times over the past few weeks and checked out some things, got a good first look of our own at this team, and Well, why not talk about what we've seen so far? Because I think it's looking pretty good.
Yeah, we've let's see. It's been limited workouts, so they can run a total of 2 hours a week. So Kruger's been splicing that up into 340 minute sessions. I'm sorry, and it's a compact period, but you can see a lot. There's a lot going on. He's instilling some of his schemes. The last two sessions, he's been weaving in some of his defensive style, and I think the youngins have definitely got their eyes wide open now to exactly what he wants. That's going to be increased, obviously, with the start of the official practice, but when Kruger leaves, it's been very interesting pickup ball, and you kind of get a sense of what's coming. There's going to be some dynamic play and some a lot of talent out there, so I think people are in for quite a show.
Well, and it's funny, you know, when Kruger leaves, they run these pickups back and forth for about 20, 30 minutes.
Yep.
And, you know, they split into three squads of five, which, as you mentioned, you've pointed out past years, that hasn't always been available, especially last year.
Right.
But, you know, it's gotten pretty intense, and, you know, those guys are really getting after it, and we've seen some things. I think you maybe see more about what a player really is at the core of everything, maybe when coach isn't watching. And
yes,
let's talk about some things that have stood out so far with what we've seen when these guys are kind of freestyling it a little bit, running
with Kruger
fives.
Outside the building.
Yeah.
Well, it all starts with Trayvon Willis. He should get his application for the Globetrotters soon, because it looks like he's trying out for him. He comes up with some passes off the backboard, between his legs, bouncing behind him.
Which don't always find targets.
Often they don't. But he knows that he's got a sheepish laugh and a grin, and he knows that come serious time that goes in his closet.
And you know that we have seen that, because when Kruger is there and they're running those defensive drills, you really don't see a lot of guys you know, working harder and really playing smarter than Trayvon.
He is definitely one of the hardest workers. He's going to be a bull at the point guard. And I think the last 2 days, though, the last two sessions we've seen with the defensive intensity, I think that's really going to well, obviously it's going to help the guys, but I think they kind of their eyes are kind of wide open. Mm-hmm. This isn't just a freewheeling deal, and this is where it matters on defense, and that's where they're going to pay the rent.
And you know, he's for all those blown alley oops and goofy attempts we see when they run freestyles, I'll tell you, when they get running those full court drills, and when Kruger is there at practice, boy, he looks impressive. He makes some passes where you're just thinking, man, how did he see that? I remember yesterday, he went up and went up on two guys and just kind of slipped a pass below down by his knees and just flipped it to Rene Rougeau. That was an easy two. Would be an easy two against any team they're going to face this year. And, you know, he has flashes that he can do those things. Do you really think this guy is their answer this year at the point?
I think he's going to – how can I put it? I think he's going to be more than capable. Before they went to Australia, he was talking about deferring a lot. Lately, he has talked about wanting a 4-1 assist to turnovers ratio this season. We'll get back to that. But before Australia, he really made a point to, and he was playing like it too. He was deferring to guys. That was his main option. He was getting them involved. He wants to get them involved. He wants to be unselfish. He kind of got away from that a little bit in Australia. He told me today that he has been religiously reviewing all of the tapes from those six games in Australia. And he didn't do that well. He had even a negative assist-to-turnover ratio. So he knows what he has to work on. That's what Australia taught him. They got some chemistry out of it, but also they got a lot out of it about what they don't want to do and how they don't want to play. He has been watching those tapes, like I said, because he wants to reinforce what he did wrong so he doesn't do them again. It's a lot different when the games matter and you're playing other guys and the wins and the losses count. So he knows that, and all that being said, I think he's going to really present a dynamic package this season.
And you mentioned the 4-1 assist to turnover. Now, I feel like we need to quantify just how hard that is to accomplish.
Oh, we can. I'm glad I've done some homework. Yes, I've done just
that. You've done plenty of it here.
I have. You know, I looked back into the record books at UNLV, and in 1990-91, the season that UNLV lost to Duke in the national semifinal, they were trying to follow up a title with a title. Mm-hmm. Greg Anthony had an incredible 4.5-1 assist-to-turnover ratio. I didn't look back at each season, but I would think that that would be at the top or among the top in UNLV history. That's an outlandish figure. Mark Wade comes in at a very close second, 4.4-1 in 86-87. As far as 4-1 goes in this day and age, Cliff Klingscales of DePaul last season, he led the country with a 3.6-1 ratio. He was one of only three guys who had a ratio of more than three. So that's kind of some perspective about what Trayvon is up against. Asked him again about it today, and he's confident that's what he's shooting for.
I will say this. Having seen Cliff Klingscales play a few times, if that guy can get a 3.6-1, I think a lot is possible for Trayvon Willis.
Touché.
Honestly.
Touché.
But, well, at the same token, you know, Trayvon Willis is really only going to be half of that starting backcourt because on the other side, you've got probably the guy who next week will, I would imagine, be announced as the Mountain West preseason player of the year in Wink Adams. And do you think it's safe to say that he could be the heart and soul of this team? I mean, this is a very important senior class that they have. It's a senior class that's been here with Kruger for a long time,
right.
And you talk about guys like Rene Rougeau and Joe Darger and Mo Rutledge, but Wink Adams, I mean, when teams are prepping for this UNLV team, that's going to be the first name I would imagine that's going to be standing.
I think there's no doubt about that. Yeah. Mo is a transfer, nothing against him. He's a senior, and his leadership means a lot, and it's going to count for a lot.
Yep.
Rougeau has obviously come out of nowhere to impress anybody who's a basketball fan. He's incredible. His story is just absolutely incredible, and Darger is an assassin. The three-point line is going to be longer this year. What we've seen in practice, that's not going to affect him at all. He is just heartless. He has no emotion, and he's drilling it time after again. But the glue of this team is absolutely Wink. He was there with the Sweet 16 team last year, winning another game in the NCAAs. And you just see he's just relentless, and that's what took this game. When he was sick, that's what took this team over BYU in the Mountain West finale last year, which got him into the tournament again. Playing with a banged-up finger, he thought it was broken. Turns out it wasn't broken. Painful anyway, played through it, and how that guy goes. I know that this is such a talented, deep team, but how he goes, they go.
And I'll tell you, you've obviously seen him play more than I have the last couple of years, but – you know, did watch him, did cover that game where he was playing against Kansas a year ago. And the one thing I noticed about him, he's going to find ways to get on the scoreboard, to get those numbers up. Not that he's a guy who's trying to get his numbers up, but, you know, if on a given night the way he's going to have to score is by getting to the free throw line 15 times, he finds ways to do it, and he's tough enough to do it.
Absolutely. And, you know, the young bucks like Oscar Belfield, that's the one thing that they talk about, having played against him this summer, is he's so quick with his three-point shot. He's so accurate and so good from a distance, but he'll take you to the hoop and he'll draw the contact.
He's a bowling ball.
He absolutely is. And what really the young bucks like Belfield told me is that what really astounds them and surprises them, and they're getting used to, is the fact that he can do it with either hand, and that's just one makes one dangerous player. He takes the contact. He's strong enough to hits the ball. I mean, hits the gimme, hits the free throw, and you know, he's their bread and butter.
Well, you mentioned Oscar Belfield, so let's transition to talking about some of the newer guys here, the newer faces on campus. You know, we talked about Trayvon Willis, but he's been here a year. He's been in the program.
Right.
The guys who are new to the whole shebang this year, guys like Oscar Belfield, Darius Santee, Deshaun Mitchell, these guys who are, I think we've pretty much had a consensus here the last few days that Santee may be the guy to really keep an eye on. Here right off the bat, at least.
Yeah, I think so. In what looks like the first team offense, Santee has been playing quite a bit with Trayvon, Darger, Rougeau, mm-hmm. and Wink. That being said, Kruger shifts him in and out on occasion.
Yeah,
but Santee looks like the most dependable guy down in the post right now. He's smart. He's cagey. He's strong. And he has a ring. He won a JC title at Midland College, so he knows how to win. I think that package is going to offer too much down at center for him to get beaten at the spot, say, by Bryce Masamba or Piaz Hamga.
Well, and you mentioned Hamga. You know, you can tell. You said it the other day. Just imagine what that guy is going to be in maybe a year or two. And that's kind of the key, it seems, right now with him. He gets the ball in those you know, when they get running those pickup games,
right?
And you see him in the paint, and he gets the ball, and it's not like he doesn't know what to do with it, but it's like his mind's almost maybe going a mile a minute when he gets that ball and his back is to the basket,
right.
And he's trying to figure out what to do, and you see a guy like that with the physical tools that he obviously has. I think he can contribute some things in terms of his rebounding and his shot blocking ability.
Sure.
He's shown that. But as far as the offensive repertoire, that's something that's still got a little ways to go before he becomes a dependable option, I think, for this team.
No doubt. And first and foremost, I think the most important thing with him is that Kruger stresses patience. He's really tried to get inside Biazza's head to not worry about what others think and the expectations of others, because Kruger is fine with him coming along slowly. He tells him, don't worry about what other people may say or write, or don't worry about what you read. We want you to come along slowly. You're doing great. He is nothing but a positive influence for him at practice. Biaz can be a little frail.
Mm-hmm.
He can be hesitant. He might not take it up as strong as you would like a 7-footer.
Yep.
He puts it on the floor too much. There's a lot of things you can say negatively, but you know what? In about a year, year and a half, he's going to have a lot of things weaned out of his system. And as far as him and Bryce Masamba go, Bryce has a little bit of baby fat to get off him.
Yep.
With a year under their belt with the strength and conditioning coach, Jason Cabo, who did wonders for Lewis Amundsen, for
Joel Anthony.
Absolutely. These guys are going to be different animals in about a year, especially 2 years down the road. And in that time, you're going to have Santee holding the fort down low. It's a perfect situation for UNLV Hoops.
Well, before we get out of here for the week, We wanted to talk about the guys who I guess aren't yet officially Rebels.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked in the past, about 3 weeks ago, we talked about this 09 recruiting class. This
right.
was right after Anthony Marshall committed, the senior to be guard out of Mojave High here in Vegas. That filled out all the scholarship promises, I guess you could call
right.
it, for the class of 09. You've got Marshall, Justin Hawkins, guard out of Woodland Hills, California, and Carlos Lopez down the street at Finley, Finley Prep. Well, they're still looking around in this class of 09. They've, you know, they're talking to a couple high-profile guys by the name of Renardo Sidney, Keith Tiny Gallen. What are we making of this whole situation right now? And you saw the story on LasVegasSun.com/Rebels today, pimping our own site there, which we do quite a bit. Hawkins and Marshall said they're 100%. Lopez said 80 to 85%. Now, I'm not saying that that means he's you know, out the door looking elsewhere. That's still a pretty solid commitment. But, you know, what? I guess maybe let's try to take a look inside Coach Kruger and staff's
right.
heads.
Right.
And what do you think is going on here?
Well, I think first and foremost, it was an obvious story for you and me to do yesterday with these kids talking about their interest in UNLV.
Mm-hmm.
It was just all too obvious that we talked to the guys who had already made verbals and to see how solid they were.
Yep.
So
yep.
obviously, you talked to Justin and Anthony, and they were 100% in. after practice yesterday, I talked to Carlos Lopez, and he told me he's 80 to 85% in. It was sort of stunning not to hear him say 100%. But then again, I don't think UNLV fans should freak out, because 80 to 85
it's pretty strong.
Is really, really, I'll watch my language, it's darn strong.
Yeah.
So people don't have any reason to read between the lines or think that anything is going on. He just, it's his prerogative. He has about 6 weeks before he signs, and it's in his benefit to think hard. This is a big decision for him. His best buddy at Finley, Clarence Trent, just moved on and transferred to North Carolina, the Patterson School. Maybe that has a little bit effect on him, where he wants to think thrice about maybe what he wants to do. Hey, that's a kid's prerogative. And as far as Lon Kruger goes, he can't exactly stop the recruiting spigot once verbals are maxed out. Last season taught him that if you can still be taught things 30 years into your college career, when four kids who started the season at UNLV ended up leaving for whatever reason. So there he was with four scholarships. You can never stop recruiting. You don't ever know what's going to happen with kids. And it's only smart to entertain kids who are interested in you.
Well, and also, you know, when we talk about these kids and you know, say like a Carlos Lopez being 80 to 85%, the one thing I always try to do is put myself in their shoes as best I can. And granted, I cannot fit in a 7 foot kid's shoes. I can maybe fill out about half of it.
Yep.
But in the sense that, think back to when you were 17 years old.
Yep.
You know, this is a very big decision, and you know, you think a lot different at age 17 compared to, you know, 5-6 years down the road.
Right.
You can read into things a lot of ways, but I'm with you. I think 80 to 85 is pretty darn near close to as solid as you can get.
Absolutely.
I really don't see a reason why he wouldn't be coming to UNLV, but on the flip side, you never know what's going to happen.
Right.
Beginning of last season, who's to know that four guys are not going to be on scholarship, you know, when things are all said and done with the season.
Right. So. And who's to say that a lot of his hesitation wasn't just for the fact that here he had a great friend, Clarence Trent, who was no longer going to be on his team this year. So that could be his complete reason for wanting to think about what he's going to do. But people need to understand that we just wrote about a week earlier. We wrote about the three D1 kids who are going to be playing at Finley this year: Avery Bradley and DJ Richardson and Carlos. And in doing that story, Carlos was absolutely adamant how much he loves UNLV, how much Kruger was there from the start of Carlos's career there. This is Carlos's third season there, and his praise for Kruger is bottomless. So. There's even nobody else really in the picture, unless mm-hmm. something has happened recently. I know Washington coach Lorenzo Romar was in that building last week, and his commit, Clarence Trent, obviously wasn't. So obviously Findlay is a D1 hotbed. They know where to go in Vegas to see some prospects who know how to play the game and who have great upsides. Whether that means Lorenzo is interested in Carlos, I don't know that. He seemed to be talking to me more about Victor Rudd. I just don't think people should be reading too much between the lines, because likely there's nothing there and the kid's going to be a rebel.
I think that's a pretty safe assumption.
Yep.
Well, Rob, any final comments before we get out of here? We will talk to the ladies and folks next week again as we get ready for First Look 08 next
yep.
Friday night at Thomas and Mack. Any final parting words?
Just that people are going to be amazed next season. I hate to jump ahead, because this will probably be a lot of fun this season.
Yeah.
But Mr. Chase Stanback has been doing great in practice, and there's a whole lot to look forward to with him. He faltered a little bit today. His shot wasn't exactly on.
But boy, that three ball looks good.
He's confident. Yeah. He's hitting the pull-ups. He's slicing in for backdoor dunks and half-court sets. He really looks great, and possibly the one thing that maybe people talked down about his game was his defense, and I've seen nothing but a real sticky, slippery defender who knows what he's doing out there. So there's a lot to be looking forward to with him.
And also with Derek Jasper, who we haven't seen at full speed yet, but, boy, he's got that look of a lead guard. who will probably step in those shoes for Wink Adams pretty nicely in a year.
Well, you know what? He is more of a point.
Yeah.
So,
but you wonder if if Willis is able to entrench himself.
Yep.
You know, maybe like I'm thinking side by side combo guards here,
where either one shoots and either one is bringing the ball
up.
If people can imagine a bigger, more of a bullish Trayvon Willis, that's Derek Jasper, and that's going to be a heck of a backcourt. Yep.
Yep. But that's, of course, next year. We're talking this year, and we'll be talking this year again next week with you here in the Rebel Room for everything UNLV men's basketball. We got stories, blogs, obviously this podcast, our TV show, All In. Go to www.lasvegassun.com/rebels. And how can I forget Shark Bites, our new weekly, bi-weekly blog with former legendary UNLV basketball coach Jerry Tarkanian. He's got some good stuff. He even talked about how he got one of my favorite basketball players of all time, Anderson Hunt, this week. That was a real treat to read.
That was today. His blog is getting more popular by the week, and if anybody would like to pipe in and ask Coach a couple questions, send me an email, send it to us over the web, and we'll be sure to ask him. He's going to be with us twice a week through the end of the season.
You're going to love it every week. For Rob Misch, I'm Ryan Green. This has been the Rebel Room. We'll talk to you next week. Take care.